Matthew chapter 13. On this one particular day here, our Lord said many things to a great multitude of people. A Sabbath day, it said in Matthew 12. And our Lord spoke quite a few parables to people back to back, all in the same day. It was just parable. He just gave a parable and then gave a parable and then gave a parable and gave a parable, back to back, all in the same day. And this chapter begins with a parable that we looked at a few weeks ago, and it was the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow. And I was thinking about that yesterday. We did a lot of sowing. A lot of grass seed was sown, and we were planting, and we are watering, and such on and so forth. And our Lord gave that parable to say that a preacher goes out to preach the word. That's all we're doing, is sowing the word. And God had a particular people in the parable that represents his people on this earth, who were made ready to hear the word. And don't we pray that for men and women? Lord, make them ready to hear the word. I pray that God will bring his people to the word, make them ready to hear the word, plant a seed, water it, make it to grow, bring forth fruit. That fruit is faith in Christ. It's not good works. Let me make this very clear. There are good works everywhere. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith in Jesus Christ. And that leads unto good works. Love makes us want to obey him. It makes us want to this and that. But that fruit is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the means that God uses to save his people. He sends that word out. It's sown. He causes it to grow. And he calls them to himself. Now, today we're going to begin reading in verse 24, and he is going to continue his teaching of his work of salvation with another parable. He gave that parable, and he goes right into another parable that has to do with the fruit being grown. He was talking about a sower went forth to sow seed, and now he's talking about the fruit being grown. Look with me at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now let's keep reading. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, Christ. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Who hath ears to, whoever has been given by God ears to hear, let him hear. Now I want to point out three things for us to know and see in this. And all three of these things are very important for us to know and see. Number one, this is in the Lord's hands. This is in the Lord's hands. This whole thing is in God's hands. They said to him, Do you want us to go weed everything out? He said, Nope. Don't you dare. I'm the one who sowed the seed. I'm the one who blessed it and brought forth fruit. I'm the one who will send the reapers. I'm the one who will do the dividing. In another place, he said, To those that I put on my right, I'm going to say, Welcome in. And to those that I put on my left, I'm going to say, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I'm going to divide right and left. So he said, The sowing is mine, the watering is mine, the giving of increase is mine, the reaping is mine, the dividing is mine, the judgment is mine. This whole thing is in the hands of the Lord. This thing of salvation, and when I say this whole thing, that's what I mean. This thing of salvation. Salvation. Saved, damned. Eternal life. Eternal death. It's in the will. It's in the work. It's in the purpose. It's in the means of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ. All of it is in the hands of the Lord. That's important to see and to know and to understand. Whose hand is all this in? It's in His hand. It's all in His hand. The second thing I want us to see and know is this. Christ in His people is the difference. Christ in His people is the difference. The Lord has put a difference between those who are His people and those who are not His people. And here's the only difference. Christ in them. That's the only difference. The only difference in a wheat and a tare is the seed inside. That's the only difference. Hold your place right here in Matthew 13 and go with me to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. verse 16. It says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." That's what he was talking about. This promise is to your seed. The promise of life is to Jesus Christ. Verse 26. "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." What did Abraham do? What did he that pleased God? He believed God. Abraham believed God. Verse 26 says, "You're all the children of God by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law." And that's what people think this fruit is, this fruit in God's people. They think, well, it's, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is good works. All right, look at verse 10. This is the truth. Look at verse 10. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." If we're holding to the law to try to be saved, we're going to be cursed. "For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Is the law sinful and bad? No. If we could obey that law perfectly, we would walk straight through the gates of heaven. But here's the problem. We can't. That's the problem. And what that just said is, if you break one, you've broken all of them. It's kind of like if the speed limit is 50 and you go 51, you could say, well, 50 of those miles per hour were good. I know, it's that one. You broke the whole law. You break one, you've broken the whole law. And people are holding to, well, I'm doing the best I can. Curse is coming. A curse is coming. If you don't hold to all of them, a curse is coming. Verse 11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God." It's evident. The just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ, hoping in Him, hoping in His perfection to the law, in His purging my sin against the law. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12 says, "And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." If you're going to hold to the law, then you better hold to the law. Verse 13, this is good news right here. "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." Look back at verse 26. It says, "You are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." That means if you've been immersed into Christ as He is, so are you. As He earned, so have you. As He has paid what justice demanded, so have you. Verse 28, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So what makes the difference? Christ. Christ does. Go with me back to Matthew 13. Now, I am not a farmer, so I don't naturally know this, but I Googled it. And this is what the all-wise internet had to say. It said, when a wheat and a tare first start growing, and it showed pictures of this. It showed a picture of a sprouted wheat, sprouted tare. When a wheat and a tare first start growing, you cannot tell them apart. They are identical. They are absolutely identical. It's not until they mature that you can see the difference in them. When they mature, the tare has small black seeds in it. And the wheat has large grain seeds in it. The small, lightweight black seeds will cause the tare to stand up proudly. And the large, heavy grain seeds will cause the wheat to bow down humbly. Now, this was just a factual gardening sight. Can we see an illustration in this here? How can you tell if the seed of Christ is in a person or not? When Christ is not there, that person stands proudly before God. Stands proudly in what he or she thinks is his or her own worth and self-right. Look at my works. Look what kind of person I am. Look what I haven't touched and look what I haven't tasted. Look at what I've given and look at all this religion. I am religion. In the dictionary, just put a picture of me next to it. When the seed of Christ is in a person, he or she is humbly bowed before God, seeing a desperate need for Christ. I need Christ. I need Christ. I don't see any worth. I don't see any self-righteousness. I don't have anything to offer you. The soul who has Christ in him or her humbly bows in lack and in thankfulness. Oh, in thankfulness. Thank you for freely giving the gift of Christ to me. Thank you so much. Thank you for freely giving the salvation that comes with him through his blood in his righteousness. Thank you. That difference can be seen. It truly can be. It can be seen in the seed. And this is what the internet said about the difference in the seed, okay? Those little black seeds in the tare are poisonous. Certain countries have absolutely banned any planting of them. You're not allowed to plant tares. They cause dizziness, sickness. They have caused miscarriages. They lead unto death. That seed leads unto death. But the wheat seed leads to life. It causes bread. That's what it causes. It causes fullness. It causes satisfaction. It causes happiness. I'm happy when I eat carbohydrates. Can't help it. It causes growth. It causes sustainment. It causes strength. And we're not going to ruin the illustration by man's GMO in it. This is God's wheat we're talking about. It leads to life. So this is what I want us to see and understand from this parable of wheat and tares. All right, number one, this is all in the hands of the Lord. Number two, Christ is the seed of difference. It's not anything in us, it's Christ in us. Outside of the growth of that seed, you can't even see any difference in us. You can't even see any wheat or tare outside of that seed. You'd never see any difference. That is the third thing that I want us to get a hold of. The Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows them that are his. This is something that I really need to learn and I really need to get a hold of. And I mean this. Don't make judgments on men and women before the time. Don't make judgments before the time. That is God's business. That really is God's business. You know, they said, you want us to go root them out? I may be convinced that someone does not belong to God. I may look at that person and be absolutely convinced that person doesn't belong to God. I may be convinced that a person does belong to God. Either way, my judgment is irrelevant. is totally irrelevant. That is God's judgment, and He'll make it clear in His time. The Lord knows them that are His. Right? Just listen to this. But right in the middle of giving this parable of the wheat and the tares, and He gave it, and then He explained it. Right in the middle of that, the Lord inserted two little parables. We read them. And what He was saying in both of those parables was, it doesn't look like the end result yet. He gave the parable of a grain of a mustard seed. It's an herb, and when you plant it, it's the biggest herb of all of them, so much that a bird can land in it. You think about an herb garden. But He said it doesn't look like what it's going to mature into. That little bitty seed. You just don't know yet what it's going to be. And that little pile of flour right there, you can't yet see. When you put leaven, it puffs up. You can't see what that big puffy loaf of bread is going to look like yet. So what He's saying is, just wait on Me. You want us to go root them out? No. Wait on Me. Just wait on Me. In My time, I'll make it known. I tell you what we need to do. We're going to need to root some things out. Wait on Me. Just wait on Me. I'll make it known. Now, I want to relate that to us in this way. We don't go around literally, actually, physically rooting people out of the kingdom of God. Well, you're not in God, you're not going to be in heaven. We don't literally go around rooting people out who we don't think are going to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. All right? That's not our practice. But we do sometimes literally go around rooting people out in our hearts. We make judgments in our hearts, and we're just so quick to root people out. No, that's not one right there. What I want to remind myself of and all of us of is this is in the Lord's hands. This is in the Lord's hands. It's not our sinful flesh that makes the difference. It's Christ that makes the difference. Outside of Christ, everybody's exactly the same. Now, here's where I'm going with this. That ought to bring great comfort to us. That ought to bring great comfort to us. The Lord knows who are His, and He said that all who are His are sinners who look like all the other sinners. Sinners who from the very beginning of their nature look like all sinners. You can't tell them apart. And our Lord said, if we try to make that judgment ourselves, we're going to do much damage. We're going to do much damage. He said, you'll end up pulling up something you think is a tear, and it'll really be wheat. Now, do you know where I'm going with this? Usually the person we're focused on, God's people, I'm talking about God's people. Usually the sinner and the sin that we're focused on and judging is our own selves. Oh, the sin inside ourselves and our sorrow and our guilt and our unbelief. Our sin comes back to us. It keeps coming back to our mind, and we just slay ourselves again and judge ourselves again and condemn ourselves again, and we root ourselves out. Lord, You want me to go ahead and just root this one out? There's no way I could be one of His. This happens to God's people. There's no way. Our Lord says, wait a minute. Don't do that. This is in My hands. This difference is in My hands. I know them that are Mine. And I declared them that are Mine. And the very thing that you're just guilty sick over, that's the evidence that I came to save you. I came to save sinners. I came to save sinners. So the summary of all this is, let's wait on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord. He'll make all things known in His time. Let's keep sowing the word out there and in here. Let's just keep sowing the word. Let's just keep sowing the word. Let's keep feeding on the word. Let's keep asking Him, Lord, would you water the word? I'm being serious. Ask Him, Lord, sow the word into my heart. Make me ground ready. Would you water the word here? Water it there. Water it here. Cause it to grow. Lord, feed me. Bless it. If He does, in His time, in maturity, He'll make it known. He'll make it known. In verse 43, the last verse we read, Matthew 13, verse 43, it says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father." Then shall the righteous at that time shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. No matter what his people look like now, in his time, I know we all look like tares right now. I know that. I know we feel like all we have are these poisonous black seeds inside us right now. But in His time, all of His people, in God's maturity of them, they're going to look like Christ. As He is, they're going to be seeds of Christ. And I was going to read Isaiah 44 to you. I'm going to close, but if you want to, read it. Isaiah 44, 1 to 6. He said, I'm going to plant it. I'm going to water it. I'm God. There's nobody else. I'm going to do it. All right, you're dismissed.